Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
1 John chapter 4. When we get into this chapter, last week we looked at these couple verses along with some others. We drop down to verse 15 and following. All who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God, and you proclaim Jesus is the Son of God. All of you who proclaim Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. So you're a house. Had a lady on our board for a while, and she said, some of you get to be a house for God. She said, a few of us are large enough to be a grand cathedral. And she said, that's me. Well, I don't know that we have any grand cathedrals here, but we know the Lord lives in us and they live in God. Verse 16, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in Him. Know that, don't they? We already know that. I know that. Know that, say, I know that. And God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Then we come to these words, but we can face Him with confidence at the judgment because we are like Christ here in this world. You have maybe a King James or a different translation. You may read something like this: as He is, so are we in this world. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning as we prepare to break bread about who Jesus was in the street and who we are to be in the street. It's not accidental. These books we have, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, talks a lot about the love of God. In fact, In this same chapter, in verse 9, it says, God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son. We know that, right? But then in Romans chapter 5, it addresses the fact that God loved us even when we were not lovable, before we were in the family. And Joe made a point about that his mom may not have always approved of his behavior, but she didn't disown him as her son. So I'm glad that God loves us and God calls us out of the darkness and into His light. And so we know that the love of God has been manifest by God sending His only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through Him. So that is love. God sent His Son. Jesus spent some time in the temple. He spent some time in homes. He spent a lot of time in the marketplace. And I'm going to throw some points at you, then I'm going to ask the guys to show something. This song that I'm going to ask them to show the video of is from Steve Camp. Steve Camp, this song is probably 20 years old, maybe a little more. He is a dear friend of mine. He actually lives here on these coasts now, and I consider him a wonderful friend. He thinks there's hope for me as an Assembly of God pastor, believing in the Holy Ghost and baptism and all in the Holy Spirit and all of that. As a Baptist, he thinks there's hope for me, and I think there's hope for him, so we're pretty good buddies. But this song he's put together is really strong. But before we do that, let me just throw you some points. Chapter 3, 1 John. Chapter 3. Here we see that He called us. Chapter 3, verse 1. See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called what? His children. You know, we sing that song about, I am a friend of God. And the scripture does use that terminology, but you are actually much more intimate in the kingdom of God than just being a friend. Up until the death and the resurrection of Christ, Christ talked about the aspect, I no longer call you servants or slaves, but I call you friends. And that was a term of endearment. And Jesus said, because a friend has access to personal information that goes beyond someone that's just in the community. So that was a closer relationship. But this passage brings us into the place that the death and the resurrection of Christ has provided. And this is where we are called His children. And thus we can say, I am a child of God. Thank God I'm a friend. I'm a friend, but I'm a child of God. You ladies, you can say, I'm a daughter of God. You men, I am a son of God. And then it goes on to say, and we, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and we really are. We really are. Try to explain to someone who has never been born again about the goodness of God. Try to explain to someone that's never experienced forgiveness what it is to be able to look people in the eye and look yourself in the eye in the mirror and close your eyes at night with no fear. Absolutely no fear. Because you know you are forgiven. And you know that you are a child of God. And you know, you pray that that prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Help me out. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And should I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Only as a born-again believer can you close your eyes and have absolutely no fear whatsoever, because you are a child of God. This is what Jesus brought to us, great salvation. So we are called children, and we really are. Ralph told me one day, as he lay in his bed, he was in the last days of his life, he was looking out his window, and on his nightstand next to him was his Bible that had evidence of a lot of traffic there. Ralph Olson said to me, "Jonathan, tell the people that I'm real." He said, "So many people are only religious. They don't know that God is real. They think that we are crazies." But he said, "You have to tell the people that God is real." He said, "I've laid in this bed, looked over my whole life, and I am ready to meet God. I have total peace. I have no fear. And I know that God has laid up for me eternal life. I have absolutely nothing to fear. I only wish that I had understood earlier in my life what God came to bring." So we see here this first point, that we are God's children, really are. The people who belong to this world, they don't know God, so they don't understand that we are His children, right? They don't understand. I had a neighbor tell me, "I don't believe, I don't want to talk about your faith. He died. I'm afraid he died without God." They don't understand. That's why we pray. That's why we've had 40 days of fasting. That's why we believe the church is still God's answer to a lost world. And so we're called to represent Jesus. Yes, dear friends, we are already, not only do we carry the name Christian, not only are we really God's kids, but this says, yes, verse 2. We're called God's children, but we are God's children in verse 2. Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children. It's not you're going to become. You are if you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And then I like this part of the verse. We can't even imagine what it will be like when Christ returns. What's the word say? There's no way to figure out what God has in store for us. It's so much more than we can imagine. So when He returns, there's no way for us to comprehend all of that. That's probably why we don't have more about that, because it's beyond our physical limited understanding. But we do know that when He comes, we are going to be what? Like Him. We're going to be like, as He is, so are we in this earth. There's no way we can figure out all that God has for us, but we are God's children. We are called His children. And when we see Him, we are going to be like Him. Glorified body and the resurrection life. For we'll see Him as He really is. And all who believe this will keep themselves pure, just as Christ is pure. So we take seriously His prayer communion work that Christ did for us and in us, so we can live a life for Him. Then I'll drop on down, because kind of running out of time. We do see that there's a transformation that's going to take place. And then in back to chapter 4, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won your fight." We mentioned this last week. So it's appropriate for you and for me to say, "I'm a winner in Jesus' name." Amen? Already. Because greater, we say that, don't we? And it's true. Greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. And we need to remember that. So we need to remind one another this morning. How's my hallelujah say? Oh, that wasn't bad, was it? You've already won, because greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. So we already have this seal of victorious eternal life through Christ that is in us. And as we drop down, we already looked at verse 9, look at verse 10. And as we drop down to verse 13, God has given us His Spirit. God has given us His Spirit. Remember that demon-possessed man that was in the cemetery, lived there, ran around naked. He was a lunatic. They would, in a calm moment, try to arrest him and chain him down. He snapped chains. They could not contain him. Now that was possession. Was possession by what? Demonic spirits. An unholy spirit. The Spirit of God that lives in you. Do not diminish or underestimate the power of God that often is dormant in church. Faith must be activated, and the Word activates our faith. And we need to remember this morning that it's not just the demoniacs in our generation that are empowered to live and to accomplish things for our cause. Satan's certainly doing a lot. Sing that song, "Let God arise, let the enemies be scattered." You know what we're singing when we say that, "Let God arise, let the enemies be scattered"? We're saying, "God arise in my life, and let the enemies be scattered in Jesus' name." So yes, greater is He that is in us, the Spirit of God. God is within us. God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, and this is important, verse 14, we didn't get into this too much last week, but furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes. Now you're going to say, well, that's the early apostles. They saw with their eyes, and I agree with you in that, but there is more than just the early apostles that have seen the work of the Lord. Look at the rest of this verse. For we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be Savior of the world. What can we testify? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses, martyrios. You will be one who is so convinced of the reality of a living God who lives in you that you would be willing to lay down your life for your faith. We today are these witnesses. I don't think I realized that Charlie Kirk was repeatedly warned and read that he was going repeated. It wasn't that it just kind of happened. That happened all the time. And some of us in this room would be able to say, I don't think I've ever had someone threaten my life because of my faith. I wonder if before we break bread this morning, if we should just stop for a moment and say, God, I really need to perhaps let the light shine a little brighter, and maybe I need to allow the Spirit of the living God be released in a greater way. And maybe I am simply not a big enough threat to Satan for there to be much noise made about my walk with. Oh, I know that's not for any of you. That's maybe for another congregation somewhere else. But you know what? As a congregation, we have always been under attack. It's not a bad thing. Oh, it's painful. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. But from the time we started having our first services, we as a church have had all kinds of lawsuits. None of them have ever won. We've had people mad because we fed the poor. We've had people mad because we took in the street kids. We've had people mad because our grass was too high on a construction site. Weekend, we looked to move the rocks in that crosses would be mounted into on the corner of the property we own today. The weekend we did that, an officer came after me and said, I can arrest you for this. And I said, well, why? Because you must be doing something illegal. I said, officer, how many people are moving giant rocks and setting crosses up on Sundays? How often do you run into this? Oh, it's got to be illegal. Anybody doing anything like this on a weekend, it's got to be illegal. I said, well, please check the record. You will find that I am the president of Abundant Life Ministries. I'm the founding pastor, and we believe the cross should be on the corner, and it should say that there is no other answer other than in Jesus Christ. And anyone leaving the hospital, driving past our land, they're going to see that there are three crosses and Jesus is still the answer, and we're not a church that's taken the cross down. We will make it bigger and keep it up. And so the officer didn't arrest me. He said, well, this will work out, you know, and it did. And then we were notified, just to let you know, this is normal. This is normal. Then we were notified that our crosses were not acceptable to the codes of Martin County, that we had a code violation. And inflation's hit today. They're talking about $1,000 per violation. Back then it was $800 a day. For every day you leave the crosses up, it's going to be $800. And I went in and said, we're not taking the crosses down. What violation do we have? Well, you do not have a sign permit. I said, sign permit? Why would we have a sign permit for crosses? Well, because it's a sign. I said, oh no, I already went through this back on Central Parkway when we wrestled for years with the city. No. This is religious architecture. It is religious landscape architecture. Check history. Anywhere you find the church, you will find the cross. It's been going on for thousands of years. We're not taking it down. The crosses are going to stand. You go by the corner, you will see the crosses are standing. And yes, their attorneys ruffled their feathers and decided they were going to do something about it. But eventually the attorney said, we don't have any codes against religious landscape architecture. We're going to release you from the violation. So now we're going to see what happens, right? We're going to trust God. But the point is this, we serve the Lord, we love, we lay our life down to share the love of Christ, but we are in a real spiritual battle in this world. Some of you have faced it. Some of you have faced the demons. You've squared off with them. Some of you have family members that are bound by demonic strongholds. Some of you walk against the tide on a daily basis and you've experienced it. And I applaud you for your faith. What you're doing is you're saying, greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. Why is that in the Word of God? God. So I will know and you will know when we come under attack that whatever faces us is no comparison to the power and anointing and plans and purposes of God that are in our life. Amen. Amen. What happened to my hallelujah section? Bill, you're going to have to step up. What, did I scare him away? He took his hallelujah to the street, I guess. I don't know. This is the message. This is chapter 3, 1 John, verse 11. This is the message we have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain. Have you remember Cain? Remember Cain? Who belonged to the evil one. Belonged to who? Satan. And what did he do? He killed his brother, right? And why did he kill him? You ever notice in the news? Well, we don't know why this guy went on this rampage. We don't know why he killed all these people. We don't know why we have... I do, because they belong to the devil, and they're simply doing what their father wants them to do, to kill, steal, and destroy. Why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was right. You do what is right, and evil will be ticked off. Evil will be ticked off. I remembered when I came across one of our big sign panels. They were like 5 by 12, something like that, 5 by 10, from our location on Central Parkway years ago. Said, let's put these up out front. I went to the county, said, oh yeah, as long as it's, you know, it's not a billboard up high in the sky, you don't need a mitt, you're okay. So we put them up. And then one day came by and somebody called and said, the signs are down. Well, at first I thought, well, maybe the wind blew it out. And then I came back and I looked at some pictures I'd taken, and they were not all, these were Lexan. These were made to withstand hurricanes. Somebody took a sledgehammer to our sign. You guys know what we just put up a few weeks ago? We put another sign up. This sign you can't smash with sledgehammer so easy. It says abundant life on it. It's going to say a whole lot more, but that's what it says right now. And so, yeah, the enemy doesn't want us to build, to establish a ministry there. Satan doesn't want us to be there. But you know what? Satan doesn't like you either. This isn't an attack against some organization. It's an attack against the body of Christ. And so we understand this, right? And the Word of God says this. And his brother had been doing what was right. So verse 13, what does it say? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We're called to be Jesus in this, from my pastor friend, Steve Camp. Let's roll this. Just a few minutes long, then we're going to break bread.
Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brother, ye have done it unto me.
As you receive the communion elements this morning, I trust that all of us in our hearts can recognize that Jesus broke the rules on the street. He touched the untouchable. He allowed those who were not allowed to touch him, touch him. Remember the woman with the issue of blood fighting her way through the crowd. Get to him, just touch. We see the mothers with their children coming and the disciples wanting Jesus to focus on grown-up things. And I'm sure thinking he wouldn't have time to deal with kids. What did Jesus say? Took children in his arms, blessed. And he said, you must come like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not childish, but like a child. So we see. Interesting, across the street from our property is Lahaya. They feed the homeless there. Our property, in a lot of ways, has been a trash can. It's not always a lot easy to love people on the street and to love people with problems. In fact, it's really challenging. We've spent thousands of dollars to remove garbage from property. Yet these are people that Jesus, for 11 years, many of you know that we had King's Kitchen. We fed anybody who came through the door. Thousands, 11. Martin County shut us down. They told us they were going to fine us. Again, back to the fines. At that time, close to $1,000 a day they were going to find it because we didn't have a mercy. We're going to deal with some of these things. We're going to deal with some of these challenges because God knows we have a heart to love our city like love city. And the Word of God says that such were some of that. We look around, we're not so perfect that we as those who have been saved and redeemed that we can't look back and where we have some challenges ahead of us, but we have a great and a mighty God, and I believe that God has a plan to sustain us. I'm going to read for communion this morning from Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 5, Isaiah. Who has believed our message, and to whom will the Lord reveal his saving power. Verse 1, Isaiah. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way, went by. Jesus in the street. This is what happened. He was despised. We did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses carried, our sin. It was our sorrow weighed him down. We thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins, but he was wounded and crushed for our sin. He was beat that we might have sin. He was whipped, and we were, all of us like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path, follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him guilt and sins of us all. As we prepare to receive this morning in communion, Jesus took cup, he took bread, blessed both, prayed over them. He said, this is my body, this is my blood that is given. And as we do that, we understand that in 1 Corinthians 11, it says that we are to examine ourselves to make sure that we understand the body of Christ properly. Do that. Some might say, well, what is that examination? Is it an examination to see if I'm good enough to receive? I want to remind you that the ones who brought the sacrifice, worshipers, were never coming on their merit. They always brought a sacrifice. You know why they brought a sacrifice? And it had to be perfect because they could never be that sacrifice. We don't come to communion checking to see if we are perfect. We come to find out whether or not we're trusting in our ourselves or we're trusting in the shed blood of Jesus. We come as we are, the Lord's table. Those who are watching us this morning, maybe you've never received the gift of eternal life. Maybe someone in the room has never received the gift of eternal life. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it requires a personal invitation, surrender of our life, turning from our ways. As watching today, or you're in this room today and you have never accepted the gift of eternal life, do not drink from this cup unworthily, but surrender your life to Christ, then drink from this cup. So you say, well, what do I need to do? Well, same thing I did when I was 15. I bowed my knees and cried out to God. God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need a Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Change my life. What happened to me that night as a 15-year-old young man changed my life forever. And I've slipped a little to the left and a little to the right, but I've never, never lost my pursuit of God. And God is calling, I believe, our nation back to Him this morning. I believe God is calling some who will hear this on the radio. God is calling some who are watching this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and God is saying, it's time for you to come back home. It's time for you to surrender everything. Or maybe there's been a full surrender in the past, and maybe this morning God is saying there's one thing that is hindering you in your walk today. Why not surrender it to God, whatever it is? Leave, see.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as He's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.